If you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Rogation Sunday. It is called that because on this week we have Ascension Thursday, and on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday we have Rogation Days with procession and litanies. These Rogation Days used to be the days of fast, and fasting and processions were the people's signs of repentance for their sins, and they also were pleading God's blessing on crops. In America, very early, a new meaning was added to Rogation Sunday, that of cherishing one's inheritance. This tradition was born in the colonial period, and it remained for a long time an important aspect of country life. Each spring on Rogation Sunday, farmers prayed for a good harvest, and the pastor and the people walked from the church into the fields to pray for God's blessing on the planted crops. But this was not all. In the evening, each farmer and his family walked the boundaries of their property and gave thanks for the good earth. As they walked the boundaries, the boy of the family was bumped against the landmarks, the boundary stone, or against a boundary tree. Or if a pond or a stream marked the boundary, he was pushed into the water. Then the boy was given a small gift. The purpose of this strange ritual was to make the boy remember the boundaries of the land which he would inherit someday. Also, it made the family itself the guardian of the landmarks. As one family walked their landmarks, their neighbors across the line walked the same boundary line and bumped their boy against the same landmarks from the other side. Dear faithful, we are preparing for the first Holy Communions of this year. It was on Holy Thursday when our Lord instituted the Holy Eucharist to be a sacrifice and commanded the apostles and their successor to continue to offer this unbloody sacrifice, which we call the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The boys of the farms were in former times thrown into water to emphasize them that this land was their inheritance, and those about to make their first Holy Communion will soon take part of their inheritance, the Holy Eucharist, left to us Catholics by our Lord. You, dear faithful, you want to leave to your children not only an earthly inheritance, but a heavenly inheritance too, of which they will appreciate and they can live off. The children always remember with gratitude the good things they received from their parents when they were young, and the sacrifices the parents made in raising them. One of our former presidents, Richard Nixon, even when he was in the highest office of the world, he always spoke very highly of his parents, saying, "I was born in a house my father built." Frank Nixon, his father, who was from Elk Township of Vinton County, Ohio, he always worked very hard. He moved to farm in California, but never made a good living for his family by working on his farm. So he sold it, and as the president later remembered, after they moved away, there was found oil at their former farm. So the Nixon family could not enjoy of their inheritance, And there is, of course, no guilt in neglecting the use of the inheritance if one is not aware of its riches. But we Catholics, we cannot be ignorant of this great inheritance of ours, the Mass and the Holy Communion, which our Savior Jesus has left us. One of the Fatima children, Jacinta Marto, she had a great devotion to the Holy Eucharist, the inheritance left by our Lord. When at home, she used to go often to the church, always choosing a place where she could see the tabernacle and fixed her eyes upon its door. While at school, she would spend the time of recreation before the Blessed Sacrament. She loved to be alone in the church with the hidden Lord, as she called him. When she got too sick to go to the church, her cousin Lucia would visit her daily on her way home from receiving Holy Communion, and Jacinta asked her cousin to come very close to her because Lucia still had our Lord in her heart, and as Jacinta said, it is so good to be with him. Dear faithful, when the farmland was handed over from generation to another, that is, when that boy who was pushed into the water or bumped into the landmarks grew up and started a family of his own, he was meant to provide the daily bread for his family from the farm which now belonged to him. And also we are called to communicate and be nourished from the Holy Eucharist. The idea of weekly or even frequent communion is indeed something very Catholic. We should desire to receive our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, as Jacinta said, because it is so good to be with him. It is our inheritance. In the Protestant churches, where they do not believe Christ came down from heaven to reside on the altar, the idea of regularly receiving Holy Communion, even as a memorial meal, has fallen into disuse. Each local United Methodist Church determines how often to serve communion. Many of them celebrate communion only once a month, often on the first Sunday. Communion is also celebrated on special days of the year, such as Christmas and Easter. The Baptists also do not have any uniform practice. Some Baptist churches serve it each Sunday, others less frequently on a monthly or quarterly basis. But majority of Southern Baptists serve communion on a quarterly basis. Only about half of the Lutheran churches serve weekly Sunday communion. Unitarians celebrate even less frequently, just few churches celebrate more than once a year. This is, of course, because the Protestants have shown, both by their words and their actions, that they do not believe our Lord came down from heaven to dwell among us in the Blessed Sacrament. But the fact that the Christians of the New Testament would still, even after the Ascension, have God in their midst is clearly stated by Prophet Ezekiel, "And I will make a league of peace to them, an everlasting covenant be to them, and I will give my sanctification in the midst of them forever, and my tabernacle shall be in them." Even King James translation uses the word tabernacle, the house or tent of God, and this God's house will be in us. And the scripture also states that in the presence of God, everybody has to follow majestic reverence. Prophet Zechariah says, let all flesh be silent at the presence of our Lord, because he is risen up out of his holy habitation. And to drive away any excuses that Jesus would not still be present in the Catholic Church, waiting to be received by his faithful, he says himself, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." But also, just as it is important to cherish our inheritance, just as important it is that we keep far away from anything which might cause us to defile our inheritance. We receive our inheritance, the Holy Eucharist, from the Catholic Church, and it is only in the Catholic Church where we are allowed to receive and enjoy the fruits of our inheritance. St. James today speaks about religion clean and unspotted with God, and in tomorrow's Rogation Mass he tells us, "If any of you shall err from the truth, and a man convert him, he who caused a sinner to be converted from the error will save his soul from death." Because our Lord is not only our Redeemer, but also our Teacher, he has spoken through his Church how to conduct and cherish this inheritance of ours. Our Lord's mission to the apostles was, "Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned," or, as the Protestant version reads, "shall be damned." The apostles were ordered to preach, to teach. To their preaching and teaching, submission must be given. And where such obedience is refused, condemnation is pronounced, damnation is threatened. This is so because the religion established by Christ was a dogmatic religion, namely a series of facts and principles to which, under severest penalty, absolute submission must be given. The priest from whose hands the faithful receive Holy Communion represents Christ. He is called Father, and Christ was the teacher, the bearer of a message to which the mind of the hearer was to submit. Christ taught the establishment of his Church and the giving us of his flesh to eat and of his blood to drink, and the communication of his own mission to the apostles. The meaning to them about the faithful really eating our Lord's body and drinking his blood surely was just as he intended it, and was to be accepted and believed, even though, as St. John says, the announcement was a hard saying from which the multitude turned away in scorn. Dear faithful, the Holy Eucharist, our inheritance, is meant to be a regular strengthening to us and to our children against the temptations of the world. And as our Lord asks in tomorrow's Rogation Mass, "And which of you, if he ask his father bread, will he give him a stone? Or a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father from heaven give the good Spirit to them that ask him?" God truly lives here in the tabernacle, and you should make use of this inheritance of yours. The minimum requirement for a Catholic is that he is obliged, under the pain of mortal sin, to attend Mass on Sundays and holy days, and go to communion and confession once a year during Easter time. But if you are satisfied just to the bare minimum, you are like Frank Nixon, who sits on top of the oil well but never starts to drill. You are the guardian of the landmarks, and you must make your children cherish their Catholic inheritance, even if it means throwing them into the pond. And you also want to follow the example of the early Catholics. In the early days of the Church, it was common practice for the whole congregation, men, women, and even little children, to communicate at every Mass. Even during the horrible days of the Roman persecutions, when Mass could not be celebrated every day, the faithful were sometimes entrusted with keeping the Holy Eucharist in their homes, communicating themselves every morning. Saint Tarcisius, a 12-year-old boy, was sent carrying the Eucharist to those in prison. He allowed himself to be beaten to death rather than let the Holy Eucharist be desecrated. When the Reformation came, and you heard what were the fruits of that movement, the Catholic Church called together the Council of Trent to raise the battle flag against it. To combat against the lessening of fervency to go to communion, at the same time when Protestant errors were condemned, the Council of Trent taught that the faithful should go to communion at every Mass they attend, and that it was the wish of the Church that all Catholics should communicate on daily basis. And now, almost 500 years later, how do us Catholics value our inheritance? When some of our Lord's disciples walked away from him because of the hard sayings about the bread of life, he asked the remaining, "What, will you also depart?" And Saint Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." A true Catholic bumped against the landmarks of his inheritance in his first Holy Communion will never depart from his God, who descended from heavens to live on our altars. Why would he do such a foolish thing? Because, as Jacinta of Fatima said, it is so good to be with him. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.